You are listening to Kilometre Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
Hello again to everybody at The Cycling Podcast. It's Nathan Haas again, recording from the Cofidis team bus again, so I do apologise for the background noise, banging, clattering, talking, coffee machines going off. It's all happening in here. So after a stage like yesterday, what can we really say? It was just one of those days where you get cold to the bone and you feel like you spend the rest of the night actually trying to get your core temperature back up to where it needs to be. And everyone's looking at you like you might have a fever because you're walking around a heated restaurant with a puffy jacket and a hood and basically everything that you own sock-wise around your feet just to try to get some blood flow back. But yeah, yesterday was not expected in my mind from when I looked at the meteo to see if it was going to be as cold and as wet as it was. It kind of surprised everyone just how hectic it got. But there you have it. That's the Giro in October. Nice way to bookend the year with a big slap to the face. But we got through and we had a guy from our team in the breakaway fight valiantly. It was Jesper Hansen, our Danish rider. And maybe he actually didn't find it cold. I think these Danish riders seem to love it. And, you know, I think if Mads Pedersen was at the race yesterday, he probably would have won by 10 minutes. It was that kind of a day. It was like Yorkshire last year, actually. The same-ish kind of cold conditions and crosswinds and all of that kind of crap. But, you know, finishing up the day was a blessing when we even got onto the bus. It's funny, I stepped in and then Simone Canzone comes in and he literally kissed the floor of the bus because he was so happy to be somewhere safe and warm. I think it was one of those days that had everyone on their limit. But, you know, the Giro goes on and today's now stage 13. And it's a funny old stage. It's sort of, you'd think it's a textbook sprint on paper, but then when you see these two little climbs at the end there, one's 4k at I think 9%, and then the next one's 2k with pitches up to 15%. So it's, you know, to me it definitely suits Sagan if he wants to control this race and maybe take the Ciclomina jersey off Demar. But maybe a breakaway goes, seems to kind of be the theme so far of this Giro. But the more pressing theme is getting back onto the pasta journey and where we're at. We didn't have anything local last night, but our team chef finally arrived back to our team bubble because he was actually unwell before the start of the Giro. Now he's healthy and now he's with us, and we got treated to a pasta alla forno last night, which is basically just a big pasta bake. It was kind of creamy. It was tomatoey, it was warm, and it just felt like we were all being hugged. The chef put a lot of love into the dish last night, and I think it was something we all truly, truly needed. Heat up from the inside and made us feel good, happy, and you know, ready to take on today. I'm sure tonight's probably just going to be a return to white pasta with olive oil and a little bit of parmesan, but last night was a bit of an all-out treat. So there we have it, pasta alla forno. Everyone's had some kind of version of it, whether it's mac and cheese or what we had last night. Fantastic, and hopefully we all speak soon. Bye. Ciao a tutti. It's Nathan Haas here again from Team Cofidis for the Cycling Podcast. I apologize for my absence the last few days. There have been a few stages and a few days there where everything just turned into a bit of a blur. It was like my brain was a ball of spaghetti. But fear not, for I have recovered on my rest day. My brain is back. I'm coherent, I hope. I hope I can be understood. And I'm feeling like I can report in again. If we can go back to the TT, if you'd like to hear a little bit about it, it's just incredible to see what Gunnar is doing now. I think the power numbers that we're sort of hearing, I think it was around 470 watts average just seems to be eclipsing anything that anyone's ever been able to do before. It's quite amazing. He seems just like an amazing physical specimen. When you watch him on the bike, there is just so much muscle proprioception, just so much strength, so much control. And when you see his face, he's clearly suffering to his absolute max, but he's just able to keep it in control. And then the way he goes around corners, he's a madman. And has anyone seen a bike position like that before? It's just beautiful. I've got nothing but respect for him. But for a rider like myself, you know, a lot of people think that these TT days are kind of rest days of sorts, but it's anything but. First of all, it's a really busy day. There's a lot of logistics around moving and timing, and unfortunately, it's not like you get to run just on your schedule, because the team can only take so many riders at a time with cars to and from the racing. So there's a lot of sitting around. It feels a little bit like running to wait, and then you have to do your warm-up. And then the truth is, you know, we have the challenge of making time cut, and that does sound simple and easy, but the thing is, when you start off on the TT, you actually have to be a little bit careful, because if you do have a problem or a crash or something on the way, which does happen and did for you know, a poor rider from the UAE, you know, you have to start off sort of thinking to yourself, like, I need to make sure that I'm ahead of a schedule so that in the end I can back it off a little bit. But, you know, once you're rolling and going up these hills, you can't but be anything but motivated just to kind of find your limit and find your flow. And I actually had such a wonderful TT day. For me, it was a beautiful course. We did virtually the same one in 2014 in the Giro, a year that Uran won, actually. But that year it was wet and it was super dangerous on the downhills. And, you know, a wet TT is nothing fun. So for me, it was actually an amazing little whip around. And then the day after turned into, for me actually, what felt like the hardest day so far of the Giro. I was lucky enough to have good legs, and I made it into the first breakaway of the day, but after an hour I looked down and I'd actually done my hour power record for the year. And it's a warning for people that beware to go in a breakaway with Thomas de Gendt and Rowan Dennis, because they will literally rip your legs off. And I had to make the decision on one of the climbs actually to back off and go back to the peloton, because I just didn't want to absolutely tear myself a new one just to make it over the first of the big climbs to then be later dropped on the second, third or fourth. So for me, it was actually a little bit about conserving energy. And in the end, I was happy to do so, because even just making it with the gruppetto, I felt truly empty. And, you know, stage 15 before a rest day, you know, psychologically, it's getting to that point of the race where it's a rate of diminishing return every time you recover after a big effort. So that was the end of the second week, but we're now in Friuli, which is a really beautiful part of Italy. It's very calm. The people are lovely. The colors here are wonderful. They're sort of, you know, coupled at the moment with these winter gray tones, the long sunsets. It's really beautiful looking over the green fields and at the big mountains behind, which are just looming for the next week, which is going to be absolutely bananas. I think there's not a single rider that's not scared about the next 5 days. It truly is a classic final Giro week. But to fuel up for it, we have got a fantastic dish here in Friuli. It's called Venezia Giulia. I think it's sort of spelt like Giulia, but I think that's pronounced Giulia. So Venezia Giulia. So it's like a short cut pasta. So it's like a fresh pasta, a little bit like a trofio, but it's a short cut pasta, and it's cut into small little triangles, and it's made more with wheat flour or buckwheat flour. So it's a little bit like what you can get up into the high mountains, which I'm excited to talk about later. So I'm not going to talk about that. But then they're boiled and then they're passed into a pan with butter and cheese and sprinkled with aged cheese. So we're talking about a very naughty pasta here. This is the kind of pasta that you feel a little bit guilty afterwards and you think to yourself, damn, I treated myself. So the pasta of Friuli is definitely something that I want to get behind. We're not going to be able to have it during the race because it's just a little bit too much of a guilty pleasure, but this is going straight into my little menu book to something to try to make when I'm at home or next time I'm here in Friuli. So this is slowly becoming my pasta project. I've got about five or six from the Giro so far that I haven't been able to try. But tonight I'm assured from our chef that we are going to be having a beautiful fresh pesto with rigatoni, which I think is one of the best pasta shapes to have with pesto. My true favorite pasta is trofial pesto. But if you're not going to have fresh pasta, I think rigatoni and pesto is just, mwah, is magnifique. So anyway, for everybody that's in love with the glorious glutens out there, I think everyone should open up the internet, search Venezia Giulia, and cook away.
Hello everyone, my name is Rick Zabel and I write for Israel Startup Nation. This is my third duo. Hello, hello, hello. It's Rick again. So I think my last update was after stage 10, when I was in a pretty bad mood after a few guys got tested positive for Corona. What happened since then? Stage 11. I got the chance to sprint. Finally, it was nice. I was always happy with my leadouts, but it's always nice when I also get a chance to sprint. And yeah, I finished fifth, which was a nice result. I think more was possible with a little bit better position in the final two corners. But yeah, now it's too late. But you learn from this, and it's nice to see that I was up there with the best guys, and I had a similar speed. Then stage 12 was a horrible day on the bike. In the like all day up and down in Cesenatico, and really, really bad weather. I was freezing cold that day, and yeah, a day to forget. Stage 13 yesterday went quite well again. Yeah, the stage I like, all flat, and then the last 30 kilometers, just two climbs. We went all in for our sprinter Davide Cimolai. Really nice team effort to bring him in the last climb in front. And he survived the first climb and then got dropped with Sagan and Viviani and Demar on the second one. So yeah, nothing he could do there. He did his best. And just the GC guys and Ulysses survived yesterday and sprinted for the win. And also what happened? Yeah, today was a time trial. Time trial days are for me kind of rest days, I can say. I did a nice ride. I think I averaged 350 watts, which is always enough to stay in time cut and not too hard. So that's what I did. Was nice to sit on the TT bike. And yeah, what now we are 2 weeks of racing are done. Tomorrow climbing stage is coming, then another rest day. Then the second round of PCR tests, I guess. The tests we do on the rest day, I think, are more accurate than the fast tests we did 2 days ago. They were all negative, which is nice, but I think the test is not really accurate, the one we did there. Like I said, you do a test and like 10 minutes later you have the result. So let's see how Monday the test results will be. And if everybody is negative, it's a good sign, and I think the duo can reach Milan. Even though I don't want to think about the weather in the high mountains, so I think uncertain times waiting for us in the last week due to COVID and also the weather and the hard stages coming up. Just seven stages to go now, but very, very hard ones. Hello, it's Rick again. It's rest day number two. And the funny thing about rest days is that the best feeling is the night when you're done the stage and then you know the rest day is ahead. This is a great feeling. Honestly, on the rest day, it's the fastest day in the world. You wake up, you drink a coffee, you brush your teeth, and it's 6 o'clock in the evening. Like, that's how it feels like, honestly, because you enjoy it so much that you don't have the stress to go to the start, and you don't have to waste that this day is going by so fast, and you wish it would last forever. But yeah, the racing is again around the corner. And how did my rest day look like? Yeah, we slept out. Luckily, we don't have a doping control. Most of the time that happens, that you cannot sleep out. But today we were lucky; we didn't have a doping control, so we could sleep out. And that meant we slept, I think, until 10:30. And then we had breakfast at 11 o'clock. We did a little ride on the last rest day. I didn't ride at all, but. Now some of our main sponsors are here. Sylvan Adams, the team owner, is here, and some partners of the team. So we went out with them for a ride. We did 40 km, 20 km out, had a coffee, went back, and yeah, then we came back, and yeah, you take a shower, you shave your legs once in a week. That's the day to do it, and then we had lunch. Then I took a little nap, watched a movie. Yeah. You have massage. Yeah, you speak with some friends and stuff like this. You try to take the time and do things when for which you don't have time on a normal day, on a stage race day. So yeah, and now it's already evening again. We have dinner soon, and then it's time to go to bed. And we are racing for another 6 days. The last week of the Giro is coming up, and yeah, it's pretty crazy we made it this far. Now I also believe that we make it to Milan. Didn't thought that gonna happen the last week, but looks like. And also the weather, man, the weather is not good, but it might be good enough to do all the major climbs. Oh, don't know what I think about that. It's gonna be also hard. So yeah, I think one of the hardest weeks of my life coming up. Every stage is above 200 km, except for the time trial the last day in Milan. So the next 5 days is like 230, 204, 207, 255, I think, and then another 200 km. So yeah, it's gonna be every day like 6-7 hours on the bike. Pretty crazy that the Giro is doing something like this in the last week of the race. Don't know if this is really a good thing. For example, tomorrow is the stage we do. I think we enter a circuit after 150 km, and then we do 3 laps. I mean, come on, also 1 or 2 laps is enough. But yeah, I was complaining already so often here in my voice messages that I'm a little bit afraid that I will be the guy who's always complaining, but yeah, a lot of things going wrong here in the studio. Have a good day, and I wish you a better week than I will have.
Hello everyone, my name is Jacopo Guarnieri. I'm a rider of Groupama FDJ.
Here we are again, straight from the rest day.
So it has been two pretty hard and intense weeks of racing. Of racing here at the Giro, pretty successful for us at Groupama. So yeah, but today was really a welcome the day of resting a little bit, having a nice coffee with the guys, and yeah, now we heading to the Alps for a nice 3 days of suffering. And yeah, and yet we don't know if we're gonna climb the so feared Stelvio. At the moment, it looks like the road it can be rode on, but yeah, we don't know yet. The temperature apparently is really, really cold. So I know the Giro for sure. They have a plan B, and I heard already something on the media. But yeah, nothing official has been shared with us. So yeah, let's see what is going on. Apparently, it's going to be a nice week regarding the weather. So, yeah, just keep the fingers crossed that everything goes well and we don't have any days. Because actually, yeah, if it's snowing or it will be snowing, it's okay. We don't racing. But the worst is if it's raining. So if it's raining, that means we have to do it. And yeah, I mean, I'm not hoping to do anything under the rain in the next week. So just keep our hope. Hi, and see what's coming. And yeah, so far we were discussing with many Many journalists also wondering what went right for us at Groupama, since especially our group of sprinters really performing pretty well this year and over a long term, because actually it's almost 3 months we are on the edge. So yeah, as we already said, I think it was something like overall relaxed approach that we had, because of course during the lockdown our team was struggling a little bit with the smaller sponsor, but our main, so Groupama and FDJ, were pretty much relaxed, and so that means then nothing got affected regarding our salary. And I think this played a lot, because during those months we were basically quiet, I would say. So we were not worried about the economic side, which, yeah, is important. After all, yeah, it's our passion, but it's also our job. And also with the trainers, you know, they never really push hard to do some crazy efforts on the rollers or crazy for racing, virtual racing. So I think this 2 months for everybody was really good to recharge the battery. Most of us were in quarantine, yeah, like, because most of us coming or leaving from Italy, France or Spain. So I think it was a good time to recharge the batteries. And actually, after in July, June and July, when we all restarted the training, it was still okay, quiet. We had just a short training camp by middle of July, if I don't remember badly. But it was just like 6 days or a week, a little week, and yeah, we were in the mountain. It was strange, because normally, you know, the training are basically like 3 days rest day, 3 days, and in that case we did like 7 days or 6 days in a row, which was pretty rough. But yeah, it was okay. I think this matters altogether, bring us to have a really good approach and a really relaxed mentality. We knew what we wanted to do, and I think the surrounds around us, around this group, was perfect. And yeah, straight away, since we started in Burgos, it was late July, I think the 28th or 29th, and the feeling in the team was really like, yeah, we're relaxed. We are here just focusing on racing, you know. And also before the Giro, we had the moment, like in the beginning of September, we had a pretty intense August racing. And then the really first days of September, everybody went 4 or 5 days without bike. Personally, I went to Tuscany, you know, at the sea with my daughter. And, well, restarting wasn't easy, because even if though it was just 4 or 5 days, oh, I was suffering restarting. And Luxembourg, we were all suffering a little bit. But I think also played pretty well, like having a moment where completely rest, completely not thinking about cycling, and then restarting full gas for the Giro. So we were coming, we sacrificed Tirreno for Luxembourg, and that was it. I think having a way easier approach during September led us to having way more energy, especially on the mind, for the Giro, which is pretty... It's already in a hard race, but especially at the end of the season with the cold and everything. So we're all happy. There was a really good approach from the team, and I think they succeed. So, yeah, well done.
You are listening to Kilometer Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structured workouts. Join the world's training playground, where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
I'm Stephen Gallagher. I'm one of the directors of Dig Deep Coaching that I run with my colleague Dan Flamen. I suppose my history in cycling was I did race internationally and I suppose professionally at a continental level for a number of years. And from that, we've, as a company, from Dig Deep Coaching, I We've been coaching now for almost 10 years with athletes from all over the world. We've got 10 coaches based all over the world from road cycling, cyclocross, mountain bike, track. And we are very fortunate to work and be associated with a number of organizations within the cycling world, and one of them being obviously Zwift. And we're very excited to be working alongside them to deliver the Zwift Academy in 2020. With Zwift being revolutionary in the sense that it's a platform that everybody can use, inclusive for everybody to use, be it from professional riders to amateur riders. It's exciting for us to be able to put that experience that we have both as coaches and in our day-to-day cycling and in our history in cycling, that we're able to try and implement some of them ethos and some of the things that we've learned from the real world in cycling and into the virtual world. And the platform itself really helps us deliver that. And certainly for the Zwift Academy, it's great to try and find new talent and obviously help people learn and expand on different areas of training. So very exciting times.
Hi everyone, it's James Knox here. Ryan for Defending Quick Step.
Out of the way, nice and quick. Sort of quick. Actually, it was a pretty long and hard time trial, that. Yeah, proper sporting course. Tried to ride, you know, smooth, fast as possible. But yeah, still suffered a lot in that last 8K, I think, was really when it started to hurt, starting to drag up again. But yeah, happy with my effort. Pretty solid time trial. Thought I did what I had to do, just to stay there, not kill myself. Still hurt, obviously. Still couldn't really go any faster. But all in all, it was a nice, easier day for me. Didn't have to stress about doing recons like Joao. Actually, I'd already reconned the course back in June. Altitude camp in the Dolomites, where the then Giro team had a look at the course without Joao and Fausto being in the team. So those two guys went out early this morning, rode the course, but saved myself that stress, which was nice. And then, yeah, just tried to do good TT. I think the results speak for themselves, which is a good sign for us. Joao did fantastic once again, extended his gap. 56, 57 seconds over Kelderman, and then off the top of my head, like 2:25 to Pello Bilbao, and from there, a lot of guys in that 2.5 to 4 minute gap. So yeah, still wide open, so to speak, coming into tomorrow and the final week. But yeah, another convincing performance. I guess the main talking point of today's route was the riding through the Prosecco region, which I'm sure the guys will talk about a lot. They know a lot more than I do, but I do know the roads from under 23 races today. The Cadopoggio climb I have done in San Vendiamo UCI under 23 international, where we basically just do laps of that climb. Yeah, so that's pretty straightforward. And then going over there to San Mat, I think, is it like Col San Martino or San Martino, the final sort of 10K, going up the final climb and then along that little ridge with in the vineyards. That was part of the Trofeo Piva laps, another under 23 UCI race. So yeah, bit of a throwback. Difficult DT and a real demonstration by Pipo Ganna that he's the best time trial in the world right now. And Dennis not far behind. And yeah, it was quite some big time gaps, wasn't there? So yeah, I think a demonstration of how hard it was. Not much else to say, to be honest. Time trial, isn't it? Nothing much happened. Oh, wow. Bloody hell. What a day. Had a bit of a traumatic time as well, getting to my hotel room. Getting back with my belongings and phone. Had to do doping control after the stage today. Not really a good day to do it. Couldn't pee enough. 90 millilitres of urine. Managed 80. So I had to drink. Just necked as much liquid as I could. At least 4 litres, maybe more. Sat there miserable. 45 minutes. An hour. To go and do the rest of it. So yeah, back in the hotel. Over that trauma. Not over the trauma of today, though. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was really, really hard. Sunweb Road, Nico Dens in particular, were a real tough pace all day. All day full gas, to be honest. Even lined up in front, having a little bit of an easier ride on some of the twisty and turny roads, just full noise, just brutal day out. Kept on telling myself, get over this climb, and it's less embarrassing when you get dropped. Go over this one, get over the next one. Counting down K's at the top of the climb, get a breather, get some food in me, keep drinking. And then, yeah, when I made it over the final one and it was just Piano Cavallo left, I was like, right, okay, last climb. Stay with João. Stay hard. Do what you can. Suffered like a pig. Sunweb just lined it out, just full mountain train, just really blew it apart. And then, yeah, one moment, I'm not sure who took over. Maybe Hume and maybe Hamilton. I'm not sure exactly who it was, but yeah, I was slipping backwards. Couldn't really do anything, but it wasn't just me. Lads were pulling out of line, left, right, and centre. From there, I just started sucking wheels, got dragged along best I could, hopped from one train to another. Bit on McNulty, bit on Fuglsang. Got across to the Conrad, Bilbao, Nibali, but all the time getting the hearing what was going on in the radio. And to be honest, yeah, it was stressful. Obviously, João got dropped. Me and Masnada couldn't go with it. Not really anything you can say to that, just couldn't go with it. But it's not pretty, is it? Looking up the road, wondering what's happening. Hoping, yeah, just hoping he could come back from what I could hear. Just, yeah, well, stressful, very, very stressful. But kept the jersey. And we've got a rest day tomorrow, which really feel like we deserve. So, very tight now. 15 seconds, is it? Yeah, that was a demonstration by Sunweb. We'll have to come back and regroup from this. Well, just touched down in the hotel. That puts us close at a 12-hour day. Up at 7 this morning, arriving back at the hotel at 7. That's the day. It was long. 6 hours 40 on the bike, bus to bus. Gooch didn't need that, but no other way around it. Some long days ahead as well, but got through it all good. In the end, a big group up the road, but more or less a perfect scenario for us. We had to let a breakaway go. We had to let guys out of the GC get up the road, take the pressure off us, keep an eye on Sunweb. But it was a bit nerve-wracking for a moment there in the start. We arrived at the first 10, the first climb, which was 10K long, and it was hard. You know, at least 8% average, some very steep ramps. But after some really good work of Alvaro and Elio on the flat to try and block the road, then the rest of us got in front. Me, Ballerini, Seri, Mikkel, in front on the climb. Guys jumping, and yeah, we managed to block the road. It was a hairy couple of minutes where we weren't exactly sure, and there was a bit of debate whether it was too big to let it go. But I was actually in control. I could see who was going. Saw that Samatia was highest guy in GC, and I knew he was a bit behind me, which basically meant he was out of contention. So yeah, we could give them plenty of time, and that we did. In the end, I think. Yeah, I actually saw it was 15 minutes at one point, but yeah, sort of in control. Beautiful day, beautiful October day. Yeah, Friuli is a really beautiful part of Italy. Not an area I know well. Done a few, two or three stages of Adriatic Ionica here over the years. It's a race I've done in 2018, 2019, but we've never really gone properly into the Friuli Hills mountains like that. Some, yeah, really beautiful climbs. Resurfaced road for the Giro, of course, on the border with Slovenia. Lots of chestnuts. Felt like every village was having a chestnut festival, and I love chestnuts. A little bit of chestnut envy. But yeah, I guess it was a good day to stay calm. You know, I think if it had been full gas racing, it would have been pretty messy. There was a lot of technical, narrow, wet under the trees descents as well, where even in front, I was felt a bit uncomfortable. And then we arrived at San Daniele del Friuli, I think the final town was called, where we did the hard climb three times. It was very hard. I'm sure in the breakaway, guys are exploding left, right, and center. We, in the end, actually blocked the road the first couple of times a little bit, just made sure we could set our pace, keep it under control. Fast little hairy descent afterwards. Of course, I mean, can't say I was in the bunch 20 years ago, but as is cycling today, still a lot of stress for the final lap. In my own mind, didn't know what we were stressing for, and then actually Joao laid up with 800 meters to go. I didn't see that one coming, but he gave it a big push and he got a couple of seconds. So yeah, interesting little development that. And then watched the Vuelta in the car to the hotel afterwards. Got a Cumbrian rider in the Vuelta. I'm going to have to mention that. Matt Donovan, young lad, starts the Vuelta. Two good Cumbrians in the World Tour. Two Cumbrians riding Grand Tours. A lot of pride. I've had Mark under my wing for 2-3 years now. First came out and stayed with me in Girona in 2018. And then since then, we've lived together. And yeah, he's a good lad. And he's starting a Grand Tour. Also, good mates, Stevie Williams and Hugh Carthy. Hugh Carthy up to the right at the forefront. So it was nice viewing. We're now somewhere near Treviso for another hotel. I think tomorrow we start near Bassano del Grappa or something like that. But ticking these Giro stages off. Stage 17 tomorrow. Getting closer, even if it's some hard days to go. But yeah. Thank you all for listening. Send any questions or anything. And other than that, thank you for all the support. And we'll keep going. We'll keep chipping away.
My name is Joe Dombrowski. I ride for UAE Team Emirates. And this is my fifth Giro d'Italia.
Good morning from the morning of the second time trial here at the Giro. We're at stage 14. Great stage win again, second for us from Diego yesterday. Reduced bunch sprint. Actually Bora was controlling in the race, and I think they thought they had a good chance, but I also think that the climbs were probably a little bit harder than maybe what everyone expected. And in the end, it was a pretty small group of really more, I would say, GC-type guys that were in front, and you know, someone like Diego that can make it over is for sure one of the fastest out of a group like that. And McNulty gave him, I think, a good lead out in the last kilometer. And yeah, he was able to win the stage. So it's good for us. Today we've got the time trial. You know, a TT in the middle of the race like this for a lot of guys is a bit more of an easy day. You know, if you can win the TT or do a great ride, then it's something different. Or if you're riding for GC, then of course it's 100% effort. But also a lot of guys look to this day as kind of a day to take it a bit easier. Me personally, for me, it'll be a chance to recover a bit. I think I said in my last update I picked up some kind of stomach bug after the first rest day, and this week's been quite a struggle for me. I was talking with the team doctor before the Cesenatico stage yesterday, and we weren't sure if I was going to start or not because it was really, and to be honest, the fact that I finished the stage was already a surprise. It was looking doubtful, but I'm hoping that, yesterday I was able to take it a bit easier. And then also today in the TT, the plan is to just kind of take it a bit easier, and I'm hoping that I'm able to kind of bounce back from that and have a good final week. It's just been, anytime you get a sort of stomach virus, it can really be pretty draining. So, yeah, looking forward. And then tomorrow is the last day before the rest day. There's been, you know, speculation about whether and or COVID could have an impact on the final week. You know, if the final week is raced at all, or if potentially some of the climbs before summit finishes are removed, and whether that would impact the tactics of the teams. I think, you know, we're at quite a, to be now we're at stage 14 and the GC is actually very tight in terms of time. I mean, I can't remember a Grand Tour where it's been so tight this late in the race. And I think some of that is owed to the fact that, you know, we did Etna, and that was really the only summit finish of the race. We also finished at Rocca Rosso, but it's not such a hard finish. I mean, I think in front in the GC group, there was probably 25 of us going into the last kilometer. So it's not particularly selective. And other than that, it's been just a TT. So there's not been a lot to break up the race, and it's kind of awaiting this final week. Tomorrow, stage to Piancavallo, there's some climbs before. I don't see any teams that are really showing that they're stronger than the rest in this Giro. I don't know if people are thinking about it tactically in terms of, do they need to be more aggressive now to take advantage if the race were to end early, or if we don't, you know, have some of the harder mountain stages as planned. If that's the case, I could imagine that, you know, someone like Nibali would benefit from a harder race on maybe the climbs before Piancavallo tomorrow. But again, we'll just have to see. I mean, he hasn't shown that he hasn't shown maybe his best form yet, but it, like I said, it hasn't been the most selective Giro. And also, you know, how strong is his team? Like I said, there's a lot of teams that I don't think anyone seems particularly dominant, and who can really open up the race. Looking forward to Piancavallo and then the rest day in a couple days. Second rest day here at the Giro d'Italia. Went out for an easy ride this morning, just an hour with the guys. Pretty much just chilling out at the hotel and trying to kind of take it as easy as possible for the rest of the day. Yesterday we did the stage to Piancavallo. It was probably the hardest stage so far of the Giro. It's a bit of a funny Giro this year in that until really yesterday, and I suppose the time trial the day before, there wasn't a whole lot of really decisive stages. I mean, we did Etna, which is not a particularly hard climb, and there was no climbs before, but between Etna and now, we've seen finishes at Rocca Rosso that, you know, there's maybe some small gaps here and there, but not a particularly decisive Giro up until this point. But I would say that changed yesterday. And I think, you know, yesterday we kind of turned a page and we move to certainly a lot more difficult stages that I think will do a lot more to shape the GC. Brandon did a really good ride in the time trial, was sitting fourth overall yesterday. I think he had a bit of a rough day yesterday and lost some time, but you know, I think he'll keep plugging away, and yeah, the final TT in Milan is probably another chance for him to shine and take some time. And for me personally, it's been a bit of a rough week. I think I said in my previous updates that I had a bit of a stomach bug. I seem to have gotten over that now. And yeah, I had a crash yesterday about 80K in. And so I guess personally, I'd kind of like to just put the second week behind me. And hopefully the third week is going a lot better. I just didn't have the best luck, and is what it is sometimes. But, you know, I think this coming week there's going to be some good opportunities for me personally, also hopefully for the break. I looked ahead already at stages 17, 18, and 20. And, you know, hopefully everything's, you know, going to work out well and can come away with something in the final week, because the second week for me this Giro has been a bit of a struggle. But I think, you know, the goals for the team would be to kind of, if Brandon, he lost quite a few spots in the GC yesterday and dropped to 11th, but, you know, I sort of told him it's a long race, and I think there's going to be a lot more shift in that GC picture, because really I feel that the GC race has only started, and Piancavallo was only the first day, I would say, that we saw a real shakeup. As for the rest, it was, to me, Sunweb, I think, has probably the strongest team in the race, quite clearly. And the fact that they've got multiple guys relatively high up on the GC, they also can play that card tactically. Nibali, I think, was probably less impressive than what a lot of people were expecting, but I also don't think that you can ever write him off. You know, there's been, it seems like, many times where in Grand Tours, the first and second week, he's not maybe at his very best, and then in the third week, he comes and steals the show. I can particularly remember stage 20 of the 2016 Giro d'Italia. He pretty much turned the race upside down on the stage finishing in Sant'Anna di Venaio, and Esteban Chavez started the day in pink, and in the end, Nibali won the Giro. So he's come back certainly from big deficits in the past, and I wouldn't write him off. But to me, Kelderman looks really strong, and he has a good team. And I would say for me, going forward, I think he's probably the favorite. Hopefully, there's, you know, fingers crossed that we're able to do the mountain stages as planned. I haven't looked a whole lot at the weather, but it sounds like the next week should be relatively clear. So hopefully that bodes well, and hopefully from the COVID front, everything goes smoothly with this next round of tests. The test from the middle of the week last week, obviously there were no positives. So, you know, if that can be the case again, then I think probably we're good to go.
Hi, my name is Cesare Benedetti, but you can call me Caesar in English. I ride for Bora Hansgrohe, and this is my fifth Giro. A couple of hard stages are behind us. The stage of Cesenatic was really a demanding one. It was really hard on the profile, on the race book, and then we had also this grim weather to complicate things, but yeah, at least we were lucky that it rained on in the second part of the stage, and we could do the first part in dry conditions. We wanted to have someone in the break in that day, and it was me to be there. Unfortunately, only a couple of guys, I think five guys, survived in the front, and I was not among them. My legs didn't support me till the end, my back as well, but yeah, it was really good challenge, hard challenge to be there in the break, and then you never know, you know, in a stage like this, there was a fight also in the back. The last 30 kilometers were downhill and then flat. So I could, if I made it, you know, a bit farther, I could also be useful for the GC guys, for Konrad and Micah. Until the finish, I was with them. Then between the second last and the last KOM, then on the last one, the pace was too high, and I was already destroyed, and I didn't make it over the top with them. And in the breakaway, we had I think the biggest gap we had was about 12 minutes, I think, and then behind, they started to pull. NTT started to work, started the chase, although they had Campenaerts in the front. At the beginning, the gap was going down pretty quickly. And I was thinking they must have suffered a lot in the back, because in the front we were not going easy, and they were gaining time. So it was a challenging day for everybody to survive all those hills and plus the weather. I think it's quite difficult to say now what is going to happen next week with the weather. There are some big mountains coming up. I'm sure the organizer has a B plan for every mountain stage. We will see. Check the weather now. It looks quite okay, but you never know. You have to check day by day. We had it also this week and last week where we thought, okay, today's gonna stay dry, and then it rained and it was cold. I think it will be cold for sure. Hopefully it stays dry, then we have a chance to ride every mountain like in the plan, but. I think we will need always to wait the day before the stage to eventually see what happens. Well, the stage to Piancavallo was a fast and hard one, as we expected. The start was pretty fast. We had a 12-man breakaway with there were no riders interested in JGC in the front. Also, there were no riders from the second row in GC from the main teams. So for us was a good breakaway. We were concentrated on our GC guys, and a couple of teams which wanted to be in the breakaway missed it, and then they chased it for quite a long time. That made it really fast in the first 40 kilometers. But yeah, eventually they didn't succeed, so the breakaway gained about 5-6 minutes. For Quickstep for the König was also good, but Sunweb and NTT didn't wait too long to go to the front and ride very fast tempo on the climbs. Eventually, the descent of the second climb made quite some split in the peloton. It was maybe harder than the uphill, but the big names were all in the front, and then they rode full gas up to Piancavallo. Micah was also quite good. We hoped he could jump on the podium on GC podium after yesterday's stage, but that didn't succeed. But he showed he could show he had good form, good legs, and that makes us optimistic for the third week. Personally, I'm quite happy after yesterday, because in the second week I had to fight against some backache, lower back problems, and that affected also the legs, and I couldn't really push like I wanted on the pedals. Finally yesterday I dropped anyway, but at least I could push I could push my best power on the bike, and then makes my life really easier. Now we had we have a good physiotherapist here. Finally, they found out what my problem was, and actually I feel pretty fresh now. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the third week, even though it's pretty hard. We have some very long stages, and apart from that, we have some very long transfers after and before the. And before the stages, but yeah, we knew that's the Giro. That's the same for every team. We just need good weather now. If it stays like it was yesterday, then it's fine. Of course, at the top of the climbs, it's cold, but if it's dry, then it will be okay.